Zion that help us tshuva. And the last thing we did was halacha dalid. So we're up to halacha hey, regular edition. And in this edition, it's also Zion hey. Okay. Kol hanavim kulam tzivu al hatshuva. All of the prophets command about tshuva. And in fact, if you read the works of the prophets, of course there are many themes, but probably the most prominent one is tshuva. Bein Yisrael nig'alin ala b'tshuva. So that's what we did last time. We spent almost the entire shiur discussing the relationship between the ge'ula and tshuva, meaning to say how part of the process of redemption is tshuva. So we're going to just read through this quickly because we did the last time. The Torah already promised that the Jewish people would do tshuva at the end of their exile, and then they will immediately be redeemed. Shenemar, v'hayak yavo alacha kol advim ha'ela, which is a description of the galus. V'shav ta'ad Hashem alokach, you shall return to Hashem your God. V'shav Hashem alokacha es shivuscha v'richamech, and God will gather your exiles. V'shav kiretzuko amim asher fitzcha Hashem alokacha, Hashem will gather you from all the nations that he dispersed you. So this is a description of Mashiach, of course, and the Torah's description of the Mashiach is preceded by a description of mass tshuva. So here we are up to the new stuff. Gedola tshuva shemekareves es ha'adam l'shechina. Great is tshuva, that it brings a person close to the Shechina. In other words, tshuva is not just about seeking forgiveness from God and God forgiving us, that's part of it, but it's about restoring our relationship and bringing us close to God. Shenemar, shuva Yisrael ad Hashem alokacha. The pasuk says, return Yisrael until Hashem your God, meaning to say that we come close to Hashem when we do tshuva. We, as it were, if I say, come to me, so the implication is you're starting off far, come to me, you come close. So when the pasuk describes tshuva and it says, you shall return to Hashem your God, so the implication is that tshuva brings us closer. And part of that is it restores the relationship, repairs the relationship that was broken through the sin. And part of it, we might argue, is even more than that, which is that sometimes if you have two people that get into a fight and they restore their relationship, so sometimes it could be a restoration of what once was, and sometimes it could, the whole episode could bring them closer if they learned from their mistakes and they've grown closer due to that, due to the whole experience. Likewise, v'namar, im tashuv Yisrael ne'um Eli, ne'um Hashem, Eli tashuv, again the same implication, Eli tashuv, come close to me. Kolomar, im tachzor b'tshuva, bi tidbak, if you do repent, then you will cling to me. You will achieve dveikus. Hatshuva mekareves es harechokim. Tshuva brings close those who are far. Emesh hayazeh sanoi lifnei hamakom. Just yesterday, this fellow was hated by God. Mishukatz umiruchak v'to'eva. Literally, an abomination so far from God. Vayom huahu v'nechmad karo v'yedid. And today he is beloved, he is lovely, close, and yedid. Yedid is an interesting choice. What does yedid mean? Friend. And it's fascinating that we depict the relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as friendship, because it implies almost equality. Now, that's not the only word we use to depict the relationship. We also use Melech and Eved, Av and Ben, husband and wife, but Yedid is just a fascinating thing that part of our relationship, one aspect of our relationship is Yedidus, like the name Yedidya. V'chein ata motzei shevelashon hakodesh shevelashon shekodesh baruch hu marchik hachotim ba mekarev es hashavim. With the same words, with the same language that God pushes away the sinners, so too he brings close those who do tshuva. Ben yachid ben rabim, shenamar, v'ayob bimkom asher yeyamer lohem lo amiyatem, yeyamer lohem b'ni el chai. This is from Hosea. In place of saying, you are not my nation, they will say, you are my son, the son of a living God. This is a pasuk from the psukim at the beginning of the parak of the second parak of Hosea. The story of Hosea is a very fascinating topic. It's about Hashem telling the Navi to take for yourself a isha zinumim, a harlot, and marry her. And the lesson is a very fascinating lesson, because this isha, this adulterous woman, goes ahead and she has an affair. But the husband is still attached, can't just get rid of her. And the lesson is Hashem telling the prophet Hosea, who wonders why Hashem still loves us so much if we have had so many affairs. The Jewish people's pursuit of Avodah Zarah is like an affair. We sort of betrayed our God for other gods. And the answer is that it's not so easy to get rid of someone who you love. And the deeper answer is because even when we had those affairs, we never left or totally lost the attachment we had to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, to our true love. And thus, the Pasuk says, instead of saying about us, lo amiyatem, so Hashem says, b'ni kelchai. B'namar b'yachanyahu, b'r ish ato, kisvu es ha'ish haze ariri, gever lo yitzlach b'yamav. The prophet says about the king Yechaniahu, when he was wicked, before he repented, it says right about this man, he is an ariri, someone who's childless. Gever lo yitzlach, a man who will not succeed b'yamav in all his days. Im yekan kanayahu ben yoyaka melech Yehuda chotam al yad yemini mi kimisham et kencha v'kevan sheshav begaluso. Remember, he was taken into the exile, and that's where he died. And there he repented. So the pasuk says about him, Namar bezrubavel beno. So first of all, beno here is lav dafka. It's not literally his son. Zerubbabel was more than one generation later, but I think he was four generations later, actually. But the point is that even though it was said about him that he would have no descendants, he did. Bayomahu Neum Hashem Tzvakos Ekachacha Zerubbabel ben Shaltiel Avdi Neum Hashem V'samticha Kachosam. And the idea here is it's referring to the same Chosam before that was from the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, the signet. So the Gemara that the Rambam here is referring to, is alluding to, it's a medrash, is Gedola Tshuva Shebitla Gzeira Ubitla Hashvua. So great is Tshuva that it was Mevatel the Gzeira about Yechaniahu, that he would have no children, and was Mevatel even the Shvua, because the Pasuk says, the Rambam quoted it, Chai Ani Neum Hashem. Right? That was, it's interesting. The Rambam didn't quote the beginning of the Pasuk. The words before Imiya in the Pasuk that he quoted, Imiya Kaniyahu, which is Yechaniahu, so the earlier words that Chai Hashem, Chai Ani Neum Hashem, which is the Lashon of Shvua. So the point is that God had made a Gzeira against this Rasha who had done terrible things, but when he did Tshuva, the Gzeira was retracted. And what this tells us is no matter how far a person sinks, no matter how much they sin, Tshuva is always possible, and even gzeros that were decreed against a person can be uprooted. Please.
What about the idea of kares? Don't we believe that that's like cutting off?
No. If you die with, if you do tshuva before you die, so you could do tshuva even for something that you're chayv kares for. Kama me'ula malas tshuva. How wonderful is it, the level of someone who's done tshuva. Emesh hayazem uvdal me'ashem elokei Yisrael. Yesterday, he was separated from God. Shenemar avonoseichem hayu mavdilim beinechem levein elokeichem. Your sins caused you to be separated from your God. So eik ve'eno ne'aneh. He would cry out, but he would not be answered. Meaning to say, when a person is in a state of sinfulness, then their tefillos will not be accepted. Shenemar, ki tarbu elai tefillah ein eni shomea. Even when you have so much prayers, I will not listen. Vosem mitzvos v'torsim torfim osam b'fanav. Imagine that. When someone is in a state of sinfulness, he does mitzvos, and they're ripped up from him. These aren't acts of loving kindness, which is what mitzvos could be, but instead they are acts that are hurtful. Shenemar, mi vikesh zos miyadchem remos chateirai. Who asked this of you? The context over there, the psukim at the beginning of your of Yeshayahu, where people were bringing karbanos and doing certain types of mitzvos, but at the same time, they were not moral people, they were not honest people, they hurt the weak and the poor. And the psukim say, who asked this from you? I don't want your chachechem, or hayu alai l'torach, they were like a pain for me, God says. I hate them. I hate your mitzvos. That's what it's like when a person does not yet do tshuva. Mi bachem yizgor de lasayin velo sa'iru mizbechi chinam. Ein li chevitz bachem, amar Hashem Tzvakos. Umincha lo retze miyadchem. I don't want your karbanos, I don't want your avoda. V'haya v'ayom, so that's what he was like yesterday. And today? Humudbak b'shchina. He is attached to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Shenemar, v'atem advekim b'Hashem Elokeichem. So ache, he cries out, v'na'aneh miyad. And he's immediately answered. Shenemar, v'ya terem yikra'u v'ani ya'aneh. Bosem mitzvos, u'mekablin osam b'nachas v'simcha, does mitzvos, and they're accepted with joy, with happiness. Shenemar, ki kvar ratzah Elokim es ma'asecha. For God has accepted your actions. Velo od. Not only that. Ela shemis avim lam. God desires your mitzvot. Shenemar. Varva lashem inchas yuda. Again, referring to karbanos, Yushalayim, kimei olam, uchshanim kadmonios. The Gemara says, why is it that if you have to bring two karbanos, the karban chatas and the karban ola, so you bring the karban chatas first, and then you bring the karban ola. So the chatas is the sin offering. The Ola is like a gift. It's doron. So if I do something wrong to my wife, so if I go ahead and give her flowers before I apologize, so that's insulting, that's offensive. If I first do tshuva, I apologize sincerely, and then I give flowers, so then that's a nice gesture. So the same thing, if a person goes ahead and does mitzvot without doing tshuva, so the Rambam implies that's almost like offensive. But if you do tshuva, and you could always do tshuva, and then do those mitzvot, and then daven, so those are things that God desires, it says. He longs for them. Mm-hmm.
Does the tshuva in
Shmoneh
Esrei count
as doing tshuva? Yeah, certainly it starts. You know, tshuva is what the Rambam described. This is like chizuk after getting through seven chapters of Hilchos Teshuva. The Rambam is now giving us all this wonderful chizuk for all the hard work that emerged from the earlier chapters. Balei Teshuva, darkam liyosh falim ve'anavim biyoser. So the way of Balei Teshuva is to be low and humble, because they recognize where they sink, where they sunk to. Im cherfu osam haksilim b'maaseihem arishonim v'amru lahem emesh ha'iso sakach v'kach emesh ha'iso omer kach v'kach. But let's say people go ahead and they see a Balei Teshuva and they say, remember when you used to do this and that? They remind them of their past. So al yargishu, they shouldn't be offended by this. Of course, to do that is a terrible avera. The Gemara says it's onas dvarim. Anytime you say something hurtful, it's onas dvarim. And certainly to remind someone of their past, if that's something that's painful for them. But if that is what happened, somebody says that, you shouldn't listen to it. Alashomin usmeichem v'yodim shezu tzchuslam. They should think when they hear people making fun of them, look, this is my zchus that I got to do tshuva. Shekol zman shehem boshim mima'aseim she'arvu v'nechlamim mehem. And if in fact you are ashamed of your past events, past deeds, zchusa miruba, your zchuyos are even greater, uma'alasam misgadelas, and you're even more elevated. So if a person goes ahead and hears somebody making fun of their past, so they should think, you're bringing me to an even greater madrega. V'chei gamor hu lomar l'Baal Teshuva. It's a terrible avera to say to a Baal Teshuva, zechor ma'asecha rishonim, remember your old deeds. O lazkiram l'fanav kedei l'vaisho, if they say it so that they're embarrassed. O lahazkir dvarim v'inyanim adomim l'hem, or to say like things. Kedei lazkira o'mash asa, to remind them what they did. Hakol asur, it's all asur. Umuzhar alav bichlal honayas dvarim, it's part of onas dvarim. Shezhir tar aleha, shenemar v'lo sonu ish es amito. Okay, so that's the end of Perek Zayin. And now the Rambam turns to a new topic, a fascinating topic. And the topic is Olam Haba. It's a very interesting question why the Rambam decides to discuss Olam Haba and Hilchos Teshuva. Right? What does it have to do with Teshuva? I mean, obviously, in some sense, you can say, well, if you do Teshuva, you get Olam Haba. So the Rambam decides to discuss Olam Haba in his discussion of Teshuva. And I think that that probably is part of it. But I think there's something more, and we'll talk about it as we go through. Hatova tzvuna letzadikim, hi chayei ha'olam haba. The goodness that is hidden for tzadikim is chayei ha'olam haba, the life in olam haba. We'll define what olam haba is in a minute. But of course, the point is that we all know that this world is not a world where we can experience the goodness that that results from our following the Torah. We will have the tzaddikim suffer in this world, shine and prosper in this world. Some people are good people and they have very pleasant, enjoyable lives, and some people are good people and they have tragic and painful lives. The Rambam here does not address why that is. That's not the point of this chapter. But what he is saying is you should understand that the goodness that awaits tzaddikim is not in this world. It's olam haba. V'hei machayim she'ein maves iman. So what is olam haba? The Rambam says it's eternal life. It's life without death. V'atova she'ein imara. And good that does not have bad with it. The good in our world has bad with it. Not in olam haba. The Torah refers to it when it says, so that will be good for you and you will live long life. What does that mean, long life? On tradition, we know that this means, it will be good for you in a world that's entirely good. In other words, Olam Haba. liyom shekulo arach, and have long days in a world that's entirely long. V'zeh olam haba. Of course, the Rambam here is alluding to a very interesting point, which we'll return to later, and that is that the notion of olam haba is not stated explicitly in the Torah. It is alluded to in a number of places, this is one example, but not discussed explicitly. The Torah refers to schar and olam hazeh for doing mitzvos. The Rambam is going to talk about that as well, things like at least national prosperity, rain, dew, peace, when we as a nation follow God. But it does not explicitly tell us about olam haba, which is of course a very important question. Why? So we'll get back to that as well. But first, the Rambam is going to define what olam haba is. So, schar tzadikim hu, shiyizkula noam ze, viya viyu betovazo. The schar tzadikim is that they will be zocha to this pleasure, and they will experience this goodness. Upiraona rishayim, and the punishment of the wicked, who shelo yizkula chayim elu, ella yikarsu viyamusu. They won't experience this experience, olam haba, rather they will be cut off and they will die. Now the Rambam over here implies a very interesting thing, which is, what's the worst punishment? So maybe we'll say Gehenim. Gehenim is surely a very painful experience. So that's the worst thing. Answer is, it is very painful, but it's not the worst thing, because Gehenim, for most people, it's maximally 12 months. It says, Mishpat Rishayim Begehenim is Yud Beis Chadashim. So, generally speaking, maybe it's different for those who are extraordinarily wicked. So the maximum penalty is 12 months. That's why the custom is that a child says Kaddish for a parent for 11 months. Why not 12 months? The period of Avelus is 12 months. So why do you stop Kaddish 1 month early? So the child doesn't imply that their parents got the maximum sentence. Okay. So even though Gehenim is very, very powerful, very, very painful, it's compared to fire. Obviously, it's not physical fire, because one's physical body separates from their soul upon death. But it could be, you could imagine, you know, the pain of fire. This is worse. And there's incredible busha, we're told. So Gehenim is a very, very horrible experience. But ultimately, it's something that prepares the soul for eternal life. It's a gift, it's an opportunity. It's compared to fire because of the spiritual cleansing that cleans like fire. So what could be worse than Gehenim? Rambam says, I'll tell you something a lot worse than Gehenim, that you die. When a person dies, they die like a dog. They simply cease to exist. That's what the Rambam is saying, that they're cut off, they die. That's much worse than Gehenim, because with Gehenim, at least you're alive, you exist, and there's hope, things will get better. The ultimate punishment is that when a person dies, they simply cease to exist. And that's what the Rambam says, the lack of olam haba. Olam haba, more than anything else, is defined as the spiritual existence that's eternal. And everybody agrees to that. There are going to be some debates about the nature of olam haba, but everybody agrees it's an eternal spiritual existence. It's an existence that involves spiritual pleasure in a way that we can't even imagine, as we'll talk about shortly. But that's what olam haba is. And the ultimate punishment is lacking the ability to live eternally in that state. V'chol mi she'enu zochah l'chayim elu, hu hames she'enu chay l'olam. Someone who doesn't experience olam haba is someone who dies and doesn't live eternally. Ela nechras berish'au, they are cut off in their wickedness. V'aved kabema, and they are lost like an animal. V'zeu karis haksuva b'tar. And this is what the Torah means when it refers to karis. Shenamar, Hikares tikares hanafeshahi. Mepi Hashmu alamdu hikares b'olam hazeh. Tikares li'olam haba. Hikares tikares, the pasuk using, referring to kares, uses this double lashon. Hikares tikares. Hikares refers to olam hazeh, and tikares is olam haba. What does loss of olam haba mean? The Rambam says that means simply dying. And when you die, that's it. You cease to exist. V'lomar, she'osa ha-nefesh she'parsha ha-guf ba'olam hazeh, ein ezochel l'chay olam haba. Ela gam min olam haba nechreses. So what the Rambam tells us, and he's going to explain a little bit more shortly, is that normally when a person dies, their body and their soul separate. And their soul continues to exist. Their body's buried, it deteriorates, but their soul continues to exist eternally. That's what Olam Haba is. And obviously there are madregos in Olam Haba and the like, but fundamentally, it's the eternal spiritual existence. So the Rambam explains in the next halach, Olam Haba, ein bo guf u'gviya, there is no physical body. Because obviously, if it's a spiritual existence, there's no need for a physical body. Ela, nafshos ha-tzadikim bilvad b'loguf. Just the nefesh of the tzadik, tzadik, tzadikas, obviously, without any body. Kimalachei ha-shareis, like angels. In other words, angels exist, but they have no physical body. It's a existence, but it's a spiritual existence. It's not a physical existence. And likewise, our existence after we die, is we continue to exist, but not in a physical, not with a physical manifestation. How will the ein bo gvios, and because there is no body, ein bo lo achila v'lo shtiya, accordingly, there's no eating or drinking, v'lo davar, mikol dvarim shegufo b'nei adam tzrichim lahem b'olam hazeh, not any of the needs, the physical needs that a body has in this world. And the things that happen to us when we have a physical body will not happen in Olam Haba. Kegon yeshiva v'amida, sheina umisa, sitting, standing, sleeping, dying, etzef, schok, emotions, sadness, laughing, joy, kiyotzeban, all these things are not relevant if you don't have a physical manifestation. Chazal allude to this when they said the following: Olam Haba, ein bo lo achila v'lo shtiya v'lo tashmish. There's no eating, drinking, tashmish amita. Ela tzadikim yoshin v'atrosim b'roshehem v'nenem ziv hashchina. Tzadikim sit, and their crowns are on their head, and they bask in the glory of the Shechina. So what does that mean? So the Rambam is going to break apart that medrash. I've already explained to you that there's no physical body, because there's no eating or drinking. So what does it mean when they say tzadikim yoshvin? Derechida. This is an analogy. Amru kolomar hatzadikim mitzuyim sham belo amal uvelo yigia. The tzadikim exist there, but there's no work, there's no toil. So when I say I finally sat down and relaxed, so what that means is that, you know, I stopped working, right? I had a chance to sit back. So when we refer to Olam Haba as yeshiva, it's saying that the existence, unlike our existence in Olam Hazeh, which often has a lot of amel v'yigiyat, it's a lot of toil, a lot of work, it's not always pleasant. So the Olam Haba is compared to yeshiva, which lacks any of that amel. V'chein zeh she'amru atrosem b'roshem. So what does it mean when it says their crown is on their head? Right, so again, if there's no physical body, we can't be wearing a crown. What's the crown? Kilomar das she'yad'u she'biglala zechula yachay olam haba. The knowledge that they know, that through it they acquired olam haba, mitsuya imahem, is present with them. Meaning, so the Rambam understands that what do we keep when we get to Olam Haba? What stays with us? If not our physical body, it's our knowledge that we acquired while on this world. And perhaps more broadly speaking, we'll talk about this a little more, Rambam's stress on intellectual acquisitions, but it's Torah, it's mitzvos. These are the things that stay with us. So the Rambam tells us over here that if a person understands certain things, and he's especially referring to an understanding of Hashem, he has a correct conception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he takes that with him. And it's through that conception of Hashem that he gets that Hana in Olam Haba. We'll explain a little more what that means. So this is what's analogized by the crowd. V'hi ha'atara shalahem kinyan she'amar Shlomo v'atara she'itra lo imo, the crown that his mother made for him, which is a reference to his chachma. V'harehu omer v'simchas olam avosham. You see the prophet frequently refers to this idea. For example, eternal joy on their head. What's that referring to? It's referring to the chachma that they acquired while here on this world. That's eternal joy. Veina simcha guf kedei shetanuach al harosh. Wouldn't make sense to say it's physical pleasure. Kach atarash anu chachamim kan hi adeya. It's referring to knowledge. Umahu ze she'amru v'nene miziv hashchina. So what's meant by the conclusion that they're nene, they enjoy, they bask in the presence of Hashem? Sheyodim umasigim me'amitas HaKadosh Baruch Hu ma'sheinim yodin v'heim beguf ha'afel. They know, understand God in a way that they didn't and couldn't understand when they're in a lowly body, ha'shafel, that's low. What the Rambam here refers to is the idea that we're limited in our ability to apprehend Hashem, to fully understand Hashem, due to our corporeality. Our physical body holds us back, because as long as we're physical, we're limited in our ability to understand Hashem and to come close to Hashem. Now, even after we don't have a body, we're still limited, but much less limited. So the Hana Miziv Hashchina, what is the nature of this spiritual pleasure? That's because the pleasure we could experience will be so much greater than it is now. There's a joke which has, I think, a bit of truth in it. Obviously, it's not precise, but it's somewhat what the Rambam here is alluding to. So, somebody goes ahead and he dies, and he's not such a... he's a big tzaddik. And so they take, and then same time somebody else dies. It's not such a big tzaddik. So so first they take the tzaddik to Gan Eden, to Olam Haba. What is it? They open it up and it's this big base medrash. Everybody's sitting and learning. Great. Then they take the Rasha and they take him to the same place. Big base medrash. Everybody's sitting and learning. So what's the pshat? The pshat is very simple, that for someone who appreciates sitting and learning in Olam Hazeh, so there'd be nothing better than Olam Haba, eternal base medrash learning. Someone who's a Rasha in this world, no greater Gehenim than the same place. So, again, it's obviously not literal, but in a certain sense, the Rambam is making that point, that if we've managed to perfect ourselves spiritually in this world, meaning to say we seek to come, we seek closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we focus on Torah and mitzvos and the like. So that spiritual perfection that we achieve while here will last forever. We'll take it with us. The Rambam's understanding of Olam Haba is that it's not just this artificial reward. It's a natural consequence of our spiritual attainments while in this world. You know, when we think about punishments and rewards, so we could think of artificial punishments and natural consequences. My kids don't clean their room. So I could do two things to encourage them. You know, I could say, if you clean your room, I'll take you out to ice cream. Okay, that'll work. Or I could say, if you clean your room, you'll be able to see your floor. You'll be able to play in your room. You'll be able to find your stuff. You'll be looking for your shoes every second, right? Now, in the first case, there's no natural correlation between the cleaning of the room and the ice cream. It's just something that I'm going to use to encourage them to do it. But there's no natural correlation. In the second example, there's a natural consequence. A natural consequence, the positive consequence of cleaning your room is you'll be able to find your shoes. It'll be much more pleasant. So the same thing with respect to Tolon Haba. The natural consequence of engaging in spiritual pursuits while on this world is that we will enjoy the spiritual existence that's Olam Haba. And the natural consequence of failing to do that will be that we won't enjoy that spiritual existence, or we won't be able to appreciate it. Now, one thing that's always worth stressing, and that the Rambam himself stresses on a number of occasions, is L'fum Tzara Agra, or the way he puts it in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Gimel, is the schar lefi hatzar. The schar is according to the tzar. So what does that mean? That means that when we talk about spiritual attainments, it's not just how much a person accomplishes in objective terms, but it's how hard they tried and how much they accomplished based off of their circumstances that they found themselves in the like. And adarabah, the fact anytime you have to struggle for something, you have to fight for something, so that becomes a part of you, that becomes so much more internalized. Anytime something comes easy, it very frequently will remain superficial. But that's what the Rambam is saying. Rambam is saying that in many ways, the schar of Olam Haba is the natural consequence of our spiritual accomplishments while on this world. The Rambam continues. Halacha Gimel. Kol nefesh hamur binyan zeh. Eina haneshama hatzricha l'gof. Rambam clarifies the terms. We say that someone who gets Olam Haba, so that is the continuity of the nefesh, right? The nefesh continues to live. So the Rambam clarifies that this nefesh is not the neshama that requires the guf. Now the Rambam's terminology here is a little different than the terminology that we frequently use. A lot of times we use the term neshama to refer to the soul. The Rambam would use the term nefesh, like in the pasuk, v'haisa nefesh adoni tzrura b'tzror ha'chaim, which is of course a reference to Olam Haba. And we're not talking about the neshama hatzricha l'guf. That's like the spiritual, the life force that's associated with physical life. Ela tsuras ha-nefesh. The tsuras nefesh. So again, it's the spiritual aspect of us that's totally not dependent on our physical existence. Shehi ha-deya. Shesiga me'abore kefi kocha. It's the knowledge that a person has acquired of Hashem to the extent that he's able to. V'siga deos ha-nifrados u'shar ha-ma'asim. Now, this is an interesting point. One of the reasons why the Rambam stresses that it's so important for everybody, even children, to understand that God's incorporeal, and the notion that there can be things that exist that have no physical manifestation, is because a correct conception of Hashem, which means an understanding that Hashem is totally non-physical, is necessary to experience Olam Haba. V'hi atzura shebe'arnu inyana b'perk v'im ilchus yisodei Torah. Hiya nikreis nefesh binyan zeh. Chaim Elu, this life, meaning the eternal life of Olam Haba, Lefi She'en Imahem Mavis, because there is no death that's associated with them, She'en Hamavis Elam Yime'oros HaGuf. The notion of death is a physical property, meaning to say physical things cease to exist. There's entropy, a physical thing won't live forever, it will deteriorate. Ve'en sham guf. And there is no physical body, so there's no need for deterioration, for entropy. Nikru'u tsuror hachayim. So this eternal life is therefore referred to as tsuror hachayim, shenemar, v'aysa nefesh Adonai tsurura b'tsuror hachayim. V'zo aschar, she'en sachar lamala mimenu. And this is the reward about which there is no greater reward. V'atova she'en acharei atova, v'hi she'hisavu la kol hanevi'im. And this is what all the prophets longed for, like the pasuk says, ma rav tuvcha asher tzafanta liyireacha. How great is this goodness that you have hidden for those who fear you? Now, what does it mean that the tzaddikim longed for Olam Haba? It doesn't mean that they hope to die. We value every second of life, among other things, because that could allow us to achieve more in this world. One of the downsides, as it were, of Olam Haba is that you can't continue to achieve, you can't continue to accomplish. You are whatever you are, whatever accomplishments you had while in this world. So we only have this world. That's the first thing. The second thing is we're going to see in the upcoming chapters, especially the 10th chapter, the Rambam says a person shouldn't do mitzvos in order to get Olam Haba. That's inappropriate. That's shelo lishma. That is not avas Hashem. Avas Hashem is when you do it because it's true, because it's right. So what does he mean that tzaddikim his avu l'olam haba? So we'll talk more about this a little later. But what it means is that they didn't want olam haba as a reward for their good things, in the sense that they, you know, they did the good deed to get the candy, to get the ice cream. No, what it means is something else. It means that olam haba is the ultimate kirva to Hashem. And tzaddikim long for that kirva. They want olam haba not for reward, not for pleasure, but because they long for closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is the ultimate place of closeness.
Wouldn't tzaddikim want to grow?
So they do, and that's why they don't want to die. It's not a stira. On the one hand, they long for the closeness to Hashem, that is Olam Haba. They also want to live as long as they can so they can grow as much as they can. The two contradictions, the two emotions don't clash, because they long for closeness to Hashem, because anyone who loves Hashem will long for closeness. At the same time, they also want to do mitzvos while in this world. That's what brings them closer. So both could be true. The Kama Shemos Nikra'ula Derech Mashal. So there are many words used to describe Olam Haba as a mashal. And it's not surprising that there's so many mashalim, because, as we'll see, this is something that we can't really relate to or understand. So, for example, Har Hashem, Mekom Kacho, Derech HaKodesh, the mountain of God, his holy place, the path of holiness, Chatzos Hashem, the courtyards of God, Noam Hashem, the pleasure of God, Oel Hashem, the tent of God, Heichal Hashem, the palace of God, Ves Hashem, the home of God, Shar Hashem, the gate of God. So these are all actually allusions to Olam Haba. So when we say, when David HaMelech says that he longed for Chatzos Hashem, right? Lule Amanti, Leros Betuv Hashem, Be'aretz Chayim. That was a reference to Olam Haba, and it was David HaMelech's longing for closeness to God in Olam Haba. וחכמים קראו לדרך משל, לטוב הזו המזוינס לצדיקים, חכמים refer to this goodness of עולם הבא as a סעודה, וקוראים לה בכל מקום עולם הבא. But the primary place name that's referred to is as Olam Haba. Now, a very interesting thing that he hasn't mentioned is Gan Eden. What does Gan Eden mean for the Rambam? Gan Eden, and to more appreciate that, we're going to talk about the Ramban, I think not this week, but next week, who has a different perspective on Olam Haba. And we'll return to what Gan Eden means. And is it the same thing as Olam Haba, or is it something else? Very briefly, the Ramban believes that Gan Eden and Olam Haba are two different things, referring to two different stages, and we'll see what they are. But first, let's focus on the Ramban this week. So, nekama she'ein nekama gdol mimena, the nekama, the ultimate pain, punishment, that there's no greater nekama from it, she'tikares. Hanefesh v'lo tizkeh l'olam ha'chayim lo samachayim, what we said before, that the soul is cut off and it does not enjoy that life. Shenemar hikares tikares hanefesh ahi avona ba. The pasuk you referred to earlier, the soul will surely be cut off and suffer for its sins. V'zeh ha'avadon shukarino zanevim derech mashal v'yershachas. So we find a number of words to refer to that: Ber Shachas, Avadon, Tafta, Aluka, V'chol Lashon Kalaya, V'ashchas Akoyim. That refers to all sorts of words that refer to destruction. Lefishi Kalaya She'en Acharet Kumatz, the destruction for which there is no getting up after. V'afseid She'en Chozer Li'olam, and loss that never returns. And that's something important to remember, because the punishment, Hashem doesn't punish for no reason. And therefore, if a person isn't going to be zocha to chayim nitzchiyim, there's no need for, the Rambam understands, for eternal suffering. What's the point? To the extent that there is suffering, like Gehenim, so that's for a purpose. And specifically, it's to allow them to experience the spiritual existence that is post-Misa. The Sfarim explained that when a person taints their soul through doing averos in this world, that corruption needs a tikkun. And a tikkun is Gan Eden, and, sorry, it's Gehenim, even in a certain sense, Gan Eden. That's the reason for the need for the body's deterioration also, and we'll do that next week. But if there's no need for that, because someone is so evil that they even lost their Olam Haba, so then there's no need. No, that's it. They die and they die. And they've lost that chance for eternal life. Shema tekal be'enach hatov hazu. Maybe this goodness will be light in your eyes. V'tidmeh she'en schar mitzvos. What's the big deal? Actually, I would rather have good food, uvol tsuros naos, the lovish big day sheish v'rikba, the shochein v'ale shein. I think he's sort of alluding to a certain conception of paradise. Certain Islamic thinkers depict, you know, with lots of virgins and lots of food and ivory and who knows what. Umishtamish bechli chesef zahav. They have silver and gold. Varim adomim leelu kemosha medamin elu haarviim hatipshim havelim ashtufim bezima. Like these people who are ensconced in Zima. So that's ridiculous. In other words, the truth is, the Rambam's alluding, that a person will imagine paradise based off of where they're looking for, you know, what they long for in this world. And if a person in this world longs only for for physical pleasures, so they'll imagine paradise in the next world as being very physical. And if you long for spiritual hana, then you'll imagine paradise as something spiritual. And the truth is that there's something very profound here, which is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards a person based off of that which he wants. The Gemara says that Hashem allows Rishayim to enjoy this world so that they don't get Olam Haba. And at first glance, that seems to like not be very fair, right? After all, Olam Haba is a lot better than Hanaos Olam Hazah. So if Rishayim did mitzvos, they should also get Olam Haba. So the answer is, the Ramban explains, is that no, a person, Hashem rewards a person in the way that he wants. And if your orientation is towards gashmias, towards physical pleasure, so Hashem will reward you for your good deeds in the way that you desire. And if your orientation is spiritual, so then you'll be rewarded in that spiritual way. And therefore the Rambam says, V'chachamim bali adeya yedu, she kol advarim ha'elu, Chachamim will tell you, will understand that all these things, those who imagine that it's going to be physical pleasures in Olam Haba, divrei havai v'havalim, these are foolish, they're silly. Vein b'am to'elas, vein ha'tov g'dolas leinu v'olam hazeh. We don't even think of them as great in this world. In other words, even in Olam Hazeh, we don't value physical pleasure very much. Alam epnesh, anu bali gufu v'ya, we appreciate it, we enjoy it because we're physical. But if you're not a physical existent, which you're not after you die, so you'll have no appreciation for it. These are all things that are needed for the guf. But the nefesh doesn't desire good food, good drinks, whatever it is. It doesn't desire them. The only reason why we desire food while in this world is because we have physical needs, and food provides for those physical needs. So you'll be healthy. But if you have no physical body, these things will all be worthless. Okay, you know what? We'll stop here. Next week we'll finish the Rambam's description and talk a little bit about the Ramban. Okay.